The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, my name is Chad Shane. I'm from Nashua, New Hampshire. I'm perfectly goofy, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 245 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is my co-host, Michelle Scribner, Frosty Winter Winterlanderland, Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Look, I've already got a really long name. I don't need you to give me extra words.
Up here. It's just like,
yeah, so we are at the time of recording just post 8 inches snowstorm, which around here is not the end of the world. We're out and about today doing our things. And tomorrow, though, it's supposed to be tomorrow night it's supposed to be 20 to 30 inches. So hashtag running inside or run on the treadmill. So,
yep.
All right. Boston training is really fun when you live in New Hampshire. So, before we introduce our guests, I have a shout out, and that is to, one of our listeners, whose name is Timothy DeLorio. Timothy is actually my favorite boy's name. Timothy DeLorio and Christy DeLorio. And they ran the 3M half marathon in one of my favorite places to run, Austin, Texas. So it looks like Timothy had a little bit of an injury, but he made it. And so we give him a big shout out. And I just love it when people post their victories and their medals and even their challenges on Facebook. So thank you, Timothy. So big shout out to him.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to be mentioned on this podcast, so keep posting.
It's funny, when we went for a marathon weekend, I had people tell me they like almost ran off the road, or they just stopped and kind of looked around. So it's kind of nice. So shout out to you if you're running.
Shout out. Michelle, do we have any announcements, or are we going to go right into the show?
We want to talk about a little bit about the Mickey Miles Podcast Cruise. It's rolling a little bit. It's next year, so we're planning ahead. I think we already have 5 cabins booked. 5.
5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah, maybe 6. Did I say 6? I don't know. But we'll have more information. We'll have Becky on to talk about that a little bit more.
And we have a surprise regarding that. We're working on something in the background. And as soon as we have something to tell you or maybe even show you, we will have that.
Yeah. So I'm excited. We have a lot of time to plan. So that's going to be exciting and fun. And I just can't wait to go on another cruise. I know at least one person on the show agrees with that. So let's introduce our guests.
Okay. So appearing, I believe, for the first time on the Mickey Miles Podcast is our pal from the Midwest, the great Midwest and the great state of Michigan, Go Blue, Kyle Fisher. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike and Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Kyle's been a longtime supporter and also a great photographer, too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I enjoy being on the show and listening to the show.
Oh, good.
And we have, hopefully you'll love listening to your voice.
strange.
Also, when it comes to podcasting and when we need some really good insight, we always turn to the one, the only, Eddie McCoy from Villarica, Georgia. War Eagle, how are you?
War Eagle, Mike, doing well.
You're not as deflated as I am, huh?
So, yeah. deflated. Oh boy, yes. So, Eddie, before we go on, I want to ask: did you see the color of this year's Boston Marathon jackets?
Yes.
You must be happy that you're not running.
Yeah, it's pretty purple.
Yay!
Can't imagine why somebody would be happy.
I'm going to spend as much money on gear as you did last year. Yay!
Well, I feel sorry for your wallet.
Yeah, that's going to be an expensive trip.
Can't wait. Every day around here is what Boston Marathon gear am I going to wear? So, all right, but this is not about the Boston Marathon. This is about something else.
This is about something that was, and we are trying to, there's so many things that take place between October, November, December, January, crazy, crazy races, and we're always trying to be contemporary and be as timely as we can, but we have not been able to really do a review on the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend for 2015 until now. And so here's where we start, and we have brought both Kyle and Eddie on to talk about the first half of the weekend, which involved the 5K and the 10K, and also things like the expo and stuff like that. So this is what we're going to start off with, and we're going to start off with the expo. And Kyle, since this is your first time here, we'll let you start us off. What did you think about the expo?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I liked that they split up between the HP Fieldhouse and then the Joslyn Center. We went in. This year was a little bit different for me because it was the first time I actually rented a car. So I was kind of tight when I saw you and Michelle. I was trying to get to a dinner reservation that night. So
I forgot. We waved at you, Kyle, and you ran away from us.
Yeah, so I got off the plane and literally jumped in the car and went to the expo and sort of, you know, went through it quickly. But I like the way they did it. They set you out the HP Fieldhouse. You go there first to pick up for the Dopey and the Goofy. We went in to pick up everything, so that was kind of neat. And they took our picture this year for the first time, or at least for me, because this is the first time I'd done Dopey. And so that was kind of interesting. But they didn't really tell us why they were taking our picture. We assumed it was going to be that they were, you know, matching it up with us at the end of the races. But we weren't really told how that would be handled.
Oh, that's interesting. They didn't tell you.
No, they said, oh, go this way and get your picture taken. So we were like, okay, great. Am I going to get an ID or what am I doing here? So,
So I'm wondering, I know when we did it wasn't the Avengers. I can't remember. I think it was the Dumbo Double Dare. Eddie, I don't know if you remember this. They had people, volunteers kind of standing there waiting, kind of seeing what Bibs people had to stop them to go get their picture when they were just testing this. I'm wondering if anybody was in place to do that. What would happen if you missed getting your picture taken? Did you see anybody?
Well, from where I saw, they were very explicit of what to do as soon as I picked up the bib, mm-hmm. you know, where to go. But I went to the wrong area. I didn't.
Because you have no experience at the expo.
it was a little bit different. They sent me down one way. The volunteers sent me the wrong way when I walked in. So I walked down in the bottom looking for my bib, and it was up in the top. And that's the way it was the year before, but I should have known better.
So the Goofy was up at the top.
With the Dopey,
right.
Yeah, they were together.
Okay. And sticking with the Fieldhouse, the Race Retreat bracelets there were there too?
Yeah, I believe they were. Yeah. I didn't really do Race Retreat this year, but I believe I remember seeing those up there.
Eddie did, though.
Race Retreat bracelets were in when you picked up your bib and you picked up your pins and commemorative items. They had everything in there.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's good.
So I did witness where one somebody's band wasn't in there, and they were able to go to Race Retreat, the Race Retreat booth, which was on the bottom of the field house in the center, and get that taken care of there.
So one thing we mentioned on a previous show is the Castaway Key stuff was actually available in, you know, the bib pickup and the t-shirt pickup was available there too. And let's talk about Run Disney merchandise in the expo. Did either of you browse and or buy anything? There were two locations in the field house and then the Joslyn Center. Did you guys buy anything?
Yeah, I did. I went there first. Like I said, I was kind of in a hurry, so I knew really what I wanted, and I knew I'd be back later in the week. So I went in and got a couple pins, and I always get a magnet for the refrigerator. And that was kind of it for the first part. I noticed the field house, there wasn't a lot left by the time I got there in the mid-afternoon. It was pretty sparse, so I had to go over to the Joslyn Center to get some things. I wanted to get a shirt, you know, just a cotton T-shirt, but apparently they don't really have cotton T-shirts anymore. It seems like they're all the tech shirts, and I personally would I get a tech shirt with the race, so I would rather have a cotton shirt. So that was one thing that I was kind of missing out on.
So it seems to me that people were not crazy about the gear this year. I mean, there are always different opinions about it. But Eddie, what did you think about the gear in the shops?
You know, at least they do a preview of some of the merchandise that they're going to put out. Usually they put it out on the parks blog and they'll tweet it out. Run Disney will tweet it out. So you kind of get a heads up of what to expect to a certain degree of the merchandise. The only thing I wanted was something that came out was a Run Disney Magic Band. So
yes, thank you for mentioning that.
That was the only thing that caught my eye that I wanted, and I didn't make it to the expo till Friday, so I had a friend pick me up one the day the expo opened, and those, if I recall, sold out by the second day, if not the end of the first day.
They did. Eddie, do you remember how much they cost?
You know, I wish I could say.
Oh, I do. They were about $25. So.
Yeah, they were $24.95.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I did grab. And they were actually in the exit as you were getting ready to pay. They had them right there. So I ran and grabbed one.
So, guys, I got to ask, what's the appeal of a Run Disney Magic Band? I don't know. Although, you know, maybe I'll wear down again and buy one because I bought the Goofy shoes, but...
Well, I could ask what's the appeal of a Magic Band, but never mind.
I want to put in a plug in for excuse me. WW Today, we did a podcast on all about Magic Bands last week, and one of the things that we mentioned is that Magic Bands last for 2 years. So, if you purchase one, it's probably going to last, the battery and everything will last for 2 years. So you'll be replacing that in 2 years. So you've got 2 years to look forward to using that band.
Sweet. Now, I guess the appeal for me is I have so many generic color ones, at least this one will be easy to spot for me to know.
That's
which
true.
One.
I don't know. I have so many of them. I just, like, I honestly, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I throw them out because I just have the one I'm using. But,
you know, people, unless you deactivate it, well, we're getting off the.
Yeah. So, that's anyways. Another podcast. All right. So, in terms of the vendors that were in the expo, to me it seemed like no new surprises. There was a Fit to Run, there were, you know, the Stick, Dan and Yogurt, the One More Mile, those type of things.
The staples of everything.
Yeah, and so nobody knew. And I think, you know, one of the things I would like to see is maybe some new vendors coming in, maybe a rotation of. But the big news, of course, was to get a look at the new Run Disney shoes. So, Eddie, would you like to describe what the new version of the Run Disney shoes look like?
They are very generic, looking. If you look at the old New Balance shoes, the old gray New Balance shoes, all they did was take the old generic-looking New Balance shoes and throw Steamboat Willie on the back of them for the most part.
A little teeny one.
A little teeny one. Of course, I said I would never buy one. And
Eddie!
I didn't. My daughter had to have one. So, the only person that could possibly get away and make me buy one was my daughter. And she loves them. So don't ask me why, but she does.
So, Eddie, was there... I mean, I looked at the shoes. There did not seem to be the frenzy that I've seen before around these shoes.
There was never... When I walked in the expo, I could have walked in right then and there and bought any of the shoes I wanted. Didn't need an appointment. And same thing. I'm not jumping ahead, but Star Wars, same thing. So, right now, they're in need of a new shoe.
Right.
That's appealing.
Yeah, they got to have something that makes it different. I mean, I think at least the Goofy shoes... You know, they're different colors.
But let me throw this caveat. I know we're jumping ahead, but as of Star Wars, they told me don't expect any of these older shoes to be back and newer shoes most likely going forward.
Boy. So Kyle, did you buy any?
You know, I didn't. I thought about it, and I actually tried to get into the virtual queue. But then when I found out how much they cost, I just said, no, that's not going to happen. So I backed off.
Do you want to share how much they cost?
They were $185 is what I was told.
No, I can guarantee you that's what they are.
Yeah, so I heard that price, and I said that's just the way I can't afford to do that. I can afford it, but I can't.
Eddie,
do it.
even for did you buy it for Emma?
Is that Emma? Believe it or not, wears one of the smaller sizes of a women's.
Oh, so that's why.
Yes.
I want to be adopted by Eddie. Yeah.
Me too.
We all want to be adopted by Eddie.
Now we talked about Run Disney shoes, but let me tell you something that was neat and new at this expo that not many people I've heard say. If their Champions had a big booth, and in the Champions booth were Disney themed T-shirts.
Yes, we saw those.
They had the Mickey Mouse, just a gray shirt with a Mickey Mouse running logo on it. They had Eat, Sleep, Run, all with Disney, and you know they had World Traveler with the Disney. It's something I hadn't seen, and they're all in the tech. The weird thing is they're all in the tech shirts, and even though the Disney Run Disney shirts that we get are Champion tech shirts, these ran a little bit tighter. The ones you bought in the store or bought in the area than the actual shirts you got. So if somebody thinks about contemplating buying those in the future, just know they're just a little smaller.
We went to the expo, I think when we decided we'd go in the afternoon, I think it was. And we got there, we had to park in the back 40, and we got there and it really was quite different than we have seen in the past. It wasn't that crowded. We didn't feel rushed. We got to do a lot of things. We did not get to see as many of our friends as we normally saw, but we got to really go through, and I think the only thing I bought was some gel. We got to see and talk with John Pelkey, who, along with Carissa Bealert and Rudy Novotny, is an announcer for Run Disney, and we got a chance to talk with him, and we hope to have John on the show. And John, towards the end of the weekend, was working a lot with Rudy.
Yeah, super nice guy. Yeah. Really nice guy.
I spent time talking to John, too, at the expo. He is a very nice guy.
Yeah, I think the thing that surprised me the most was that he is not a race announcer by trade. He's a performer. He's an entertainer.
Anybody listening to Run Disney Race, he is the comic relief.
He's very funny. He's very, very funny.
And before we get off the expo, just not many people – I don't know how many people noticed this, but they put vendors – in another area.
Yes, you're right. So the vendors were in the area where they are for the Expedition Everest, up in that top tier of the baseball stadium. They were there, and the Dooney and Bork sales were up there as well, and the cheer station where you could make posters. We made posters for Mickey Milers. It was up there too. And a few other things. I can't remember.
They also had runner tracking up there as well.
Did they? Yeah. Okay, so anything else we want to say about the expo? All right. So the big news for the 5K, I did not run the 5K. Mike did not run the 5K. Eddie did not run the 5K. Kyle, the big word for the 5K was? Brrr, right? Cold.
It was freezing.
All right. Tell us about that day and how you prepared, because it was, I mean, we're talking cold even for New Hampshire cold. It was very cold.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, I'm from Michigan, so I'm used to the cold, but this was cold. It was in the 30s, and it wasn't necessarily the cold, but all of us that live up here know what wind chill is, and it was windy. And so that's what really, really made it cold. It was trying to get to the wind, and there was one tent where I don't think they could have gotten any more people in that tent. It was just packed with people trying to stay warm.
Yeah. So in the tent of which tent?
It was a tent over by the stage. I'm not actually sure what was in there, beside people.
Yeah, I talked to people who were in the merchandise tent. Pretty much every little crevice that they could climb into.
That's probably what it was, because I couldn't get in there. We tried to get in. It was just wall-to-wall people, so we just stood out and froze.
And as my son Evan, Liam said to me last year, Mom, you actually, for the 5 and the 10K, you actually wait for the race longer than you are racing.
You do, yeah.
So we know that the 5K is a race that, you know, people typically, it's a fun run, it's not time. People typically take their time. And from what I understand, that wasn't the case for a lot of runners for this one.
Yeah, it was different. And it was interesting because usually when you're in the corrals, you're kind of trying to spread out and maybe sit on the ground for a little bit. Not this time. Everybody was, I mean, there was no personal space. Everybody was just huddled together, hugging each other and trying to stay warm. It was interesting.
So what about characters for this one?
The characters, there is actually more than I thought. There was, they had Ada from Bug's Life. She was just before mile one. And then when he went around into Norway, Daisy was there in a Norwegian outfit, which looked kind of cute. And then in Italy, they had Pinocchio. And then in Japan, which I really wish I would have stopped, but I didn't. They had Chip and Dale in little Japanese. They call them the Hoppy Robe, which is the little short robes. And they looked so cute in there, which I should have stopped, but I didn't. And then in Paris, they had Marie from the Aristocats. And then when you came around back, they had Donald in Lumberjack Year.
That's a lot of characters.
Yeah, for a 5K, I was really, I mean, that's more than 2 miles almost. So
it's something that we've been talking about, is the lack of characters for these 5K races. So that's good. Now, Eddie, you had some input or insights as to the numbers of dopey people doing this compared to the rest of the people. Can you share that?
Yeah, somebody posted did a dopey restat. I guess statistics of the whole race, but 7,500 dopey runners were signed up or registered for the 5K. So, and I believe, like I said, I think it was about another 1,500 more or so of non-dopey runners. So they make up the 5K, so around 9,000 roughly.
So Kyle, any thoughts on how the corrals were released? Did you think they were released in a very timely manner? Any thoughts of how they could have done things better, or do you think that everything worked out well?
Yeah, actually, I thought it worked out well. The thing that I liked is that the starting area where you meet everybody before you head into the corrals, and the corrals themselves were really close together. So there's not, you know, the long 20-minute walk like you have in the half marathon and marathon. It's just a quick 5-minute little jaunt over there. And like I said, everybody kind of waited till the last minute because of the cold and just sort of huddled together as we walked over there. But yeah, when they released the corrals, it wasn't painfully long. It didn't seem nearly as long as, you know, when you're waiting for the half or the full before we actually got to go. So it wasn't bad at all. I thought they did a reasonably good job there.
And what about the metal?
It's rubber. It's pretty much the same rubber metal, if you want to call it a metal. But it was cute. You know, it had Pluto on it, and Pluto in his doghouse. Just sort of a different variation of the one they had last year. But
and I just have one more question about the 5K, because with this shift of, you know, 7,500 dopey runners, what I've noticed is that there seem to be fewer children and fewer families in this 5K run. Did you notice that there were a lot of children or families running together?
I did not see, I can't even remember seeing any, to be honest with you. Maybe I saw some teenagers, but I don't remember seeing any families.
I think that's a shame. I really do. I think that's a shame.
Well, they don't call it the family fun run anymore.
Right. So. Yeah. All right. So moving on to the 10K the next day. Eddie, what was the temperature like for that day?
It was in the low 40s, yeah, but not windy. So it wasn't bad. You know, I think everybody, for the most part, had a throwaway top of some sort. But the weather wasn't bad. It was good running weather.
Yeah, it was really good. I actually had to take my jacket off after mile one for the first time.
Wow. So I did want to actually go back to the 5K and give a shout out to our buddy Rich Gehring, who was out there cheering for Mickey Milers, because I was not. So thank you for doing that. So, but for the 10K, we were out on the boardwalk and we saw lots and lots and lots of people out there. I think 10K is such a great distance. It's just a lot of fun. Eddie, do you want to walk through or run through what the route was for the 10K?
Well, the route starts back in, and it was a little bit different. They changed it just a tad from the previous year. But you start out in the Epcot parking lot. You go out. I think you're going like you're going to World Drive, and you basically do a U-turn and come back, and then you hit the parks almost in the. You hit the parks at about mile, or you hit Epcot. Excuse me. I'm thinking about mile 3.5. Does that sound about right, Kyle?
Yeah, it was right there, because you sort of like mile 2.5 is where you sort of pick up for the 5K course. So I think you got 1 mile.
And then
you get in.
You go into Epcot you enter through the World Showcase Mexico side. You run around World Showcase, and then you exit out the International Gateway. and you go all around the boardwalk area. And we saw Mike and Michelle, along with several others. Charlie, I mean, just there was a big group of cheers right there for the Mickey Milers, just right there. And I think y'all in front of the bakery, the Boardwalk Bakery, if I recall.
Where else would you want to be? Of course. Where the hot coffee and the pastries are.
And that was right before mile five. So I know that. Mm-hmm. And then after you do the boardwalk loop, you come back, you cut back behind, right before you get to the entrance to Epcot, you cut behind like you do in the marathon and wine and dine, and you go behind the backstage area, and it feeds you back out, I think, through the UK, I believe. But you run, and then the difference this year is you run to Nemo, and the Seas by Nemo, instead of cutting through the interventionist hallway. So that's the little, they added that. They actually moved the start up a little bit and added that little section. Then you finish back, cutting back out in front of Spaceship Earth and through the normal finish chute.
Yeah, I think when you come back into Epcot, I remember coming back through Journey into Imagination because I remember running past that.
I could not remember where we came back in. That's right. That's right.
So again, let's talk about the numbers and the corral release. What, Eddie, do you have a feel for how many people were in the 10K?
I want to say again, it was, I think there may have been a little bit more in the 10K, maybe 10 or 11,000, somewhere right in there. I was running it just as an independent 10K, and I was in a corral. And it was a huge corral, and I started somewhat toward the back, which ended up being a mistake on my part because I wasn't trying to run it hard, but I was running it, and there was a lot of – if you're going to run, you need to get up towards the front, even if you're in A, because it's just a lot of walkers and a lot of people getting around. And some people, almost stopped me, and I almost – it wouldn't have been ugly. I would have run smack into them and knocked them down. So
how do walkers get in Corral A?
Well, I mean, it's just a lot of people.
Yep.
Just are there to take, doing the dopey and going to take this race easy, and it's. And unfortunately, when you're in A, you need to be. If you're in A and you're in the front, you need to be respectful of those that are actually running it. That's my only advice. Because if not, if I run into you, the odds are you're going to feel it more than I do. So.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in a bad way. It's just something, just be respectful.
It's just the physics, Eddie. It's the physics of it.
Exactly.
So Kyle, what corral were you in?
I was in corral D, if I remember correctly.
So you have a better feel for how well the release was between the corrals. Any idea as to how much time between each corral was there? What was the release?
Well, it started at 5:30, and I think it was about almost, I want to say 10 to 6 by the time we got out, so it was about 20 minutes. So it's maybe, 5 minutes. Actually, there's a couple minutes for the first, but then I think as you got toward the end, it was a little bit longer. But it didn't seem that long because we were just talking and chatting the whole time, so I wasn't really paying too much attention.
So I had a blast cheering for this. I think the boardwalk, I know our cheerer extraordinaire, Laura Ozo, was kind of tucked her way onto the bridge is, mm-hmm. when you go to International Gateway. I guess that's not a place that Run Disney wants you to stand, but she stood there anyway. So she got to see people going one way and then coming back the other. But I have to say, if I have one regret for the weekend, I love the 10K. I wish I had done the 10K.
Yeah, me too.
I really, it's just such a fun race. It's a great distance. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun. And running by the boardwalk with all the support there was amazing. That was so much fun. There were so many people around the boardwalk. I was really surprised.
Yeah, that was great. Fun to cheer too.
Kyle, can you let her know you may know more of what the characters were on that course on the 10K. I recall at the start going under the bridge and seeing Elsa and Anna above.
Yeah, they had Elsa and Anna, and then it was snoping up there, so they had Snope coming from the ground, or from the sky. Then they had, I think on Epcot Center Drive, Lilo and Stitch were there.
Right there before we made the turn back, correct?
Yep.
Before the U-turn.
And then I saw Chippendale. I remember seeing them in baseball uniforms. And then they had Mickey in like a football uniform.
Yeah, that was outside of ESPN Zone. I remember that.
And I saw the Genie once. And then Dopey was at the finish.
There you go.
So, cool. Yeah.
I bet that was a long line.
Yeah, it seemed, I didn't bother. So I
That's the thing about some of these characters. It's turned into, I'm not going to bother type of situation.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. Know, all right.
So it sounds like one more thing I wanted to ask about the 5 and the 10K and both races. Did you guys have any thoughts on the music that they played during the two races?
How did you go, Eddie? Oh,
well, I had an earbud in and I was running, so I wasn't paying attention to the music.
I know last year they did a really good job, and I was just wondering if they continued that this year.
Yeah, they did have some music going through. I remember running through China, there was some interesting music, but we were talking most of the time, so I wasn't paying too much attention.
Well, the Elsa and Anna and the Snope seemed to be a theme for the weekend, too.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
Yeah, and they had some music. And the medal for that one, just before we say goodbye?
I liked the medal for that one. It was mini, and that was the first mini medal I'd ever had, so I thought it was really nice.
It started the theme of the weekend, the circular medallion, mm-hmm. with whatever the lead character in the center of it. So, and it was a very nice medal.
Cool.
So that takes care of the 5K and 10K. We want to thank both Kyle and Eddie. Guys, thank you for coming, and we're going to ask you to come back so we can talk about the half and the full for the next episode. Are you ready, willing, and able?
Sounds good. Love to do it.
Awesome.
Okay, so for Kyle Fisher, for Eddie McCoy, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.